My beloved brothers and sisters, I love you very much. A few days ago, I attended a program celebrating the 146th anniversary of the Relief Society, established by the Prophet Joseph Smith, Jr. Until then, I did not have a feeling or inspiration about what I wanted to say at conference. As I sat in that meeting, attended by over 300 sisters, and saw the outstanding presentation, the choir with mothers and children singing, and testimonies of a half a dozen of those sisters about the joys and goodness that had come into their lives because of Relief Society, I knew what I wanted to say to you today, and that is to seek the blessings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Listen to some of their comments in that meeting about the church and its organization. One sister, I will never forget the first time the missionaries took me to the church in my little branch in my hometown of Santa Rosa, Philippines. I had never heard of Relief Society before, but those dear sisters encircled me in the arms of love. Another sister, sisterhood has taken on a whole new meaning for me. Several years ago, my husband died suddenly, and I felt like my whole world had collapsed around me. But just as suddenly, I was surrounded by a wonderful circle of sisters who helped bear my burden. They are always there. Our weekly trips to the temple bring such peace and comfort into my life. I rejoice in that sisterhood. Truly, they were no more strangers, but were fellow citizens with the saints. They were members of His church, the kingdom of God on earth. As I sat in that meeting, I thought about what the church had done for me, my wife, my family, the wards I'd lived in, the poor and the needy among us, and the whole human race. Those few minutes that day touched my spirit, and I felt like a child who had discovered a treasure. There were feelings within me that I can't fully explain, but I recognized what the church had done to bless my life and everyone around me who had truly accepted it and become involved in it. Central to everything that Christ would have us understand and receive is the great power that comes to us when we draw close to Him through our acts, our compassion, and our personal change to become like Him. Our passage here on this earth is a proving ground, a period of growth and choice, and a time to prepare to meet God. He has given us His Spirit to guide us, and His truth, and His church to influence us to recognize these powers and use them. One great man in the Book of Mormon days who fought against these principles and teachings in church was Alma the Younger, who was struck dumb and after days of fasting and prayer was revived and spoke these words. For said he, I have repented of my sins, and I have been redeemed of the Lord. Behold, I am born of the Spirit. And the Lord said unto me, marvel not that all mankind, yea, men and women, all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people, must be born again, yea, born of God, changed from their carnal and fallen state to a state of righteousness, being redeemed of God and becoming His sons and daughters. And thus they become new creatures. And unless they do this, they can in no wise inherit the kingdom of God. Alma had become a new creature, born of the Spirit. He then went forth with conviction to build the kingdom of God upon the earth through the teachings of Christ and the establishment of His church, the very church of Christ that He had condemned and ridiculed. The church is necessary to help us change our lives to become new creatures. As I contemplate the blessings of a church in the lives of the sons and daughters of God, 100 memories flood through my mind, memories like the times I personally spent in primary, Sunday school, priesthood, MIA, seminary, with young men and women, growing up where activities were always within the bounds the Lord had established, and where eternal truths were taught and retaught to strengthen and to truly provide us with a means to measure truth and error. The time years ago when we lived in a large ward with many young families, an area called Morningside Heights. We actually renamed it Morning Sickness Heights, because there were so many young families. As a bishop, I had the blessing of interviewing between 60 and 78-year-old children for baptism. I do not remember one child who didn't love the Savior or who didn't understand and live the law of tithing. This was one of the blessings bestowed by faithful parents and wonderful teachers from primary and Sunday school in the church. The time I heard about an LDS police chief who was honored as the outstanding police officer in California who said, "All I know about organization is what I've learned in the church. I've organized my police force just like my stake. I have a high council and a bishoprics organized all over the city. I don't call them by that name, but they are there just the same." The experiences in the church where I saw my wife and daughter and dozens of other women go into a home on a regularly scheduled basis to help an autistic child learn how to crawl. The time I saw a weeping father who had been activated stand in our state conference with his arms around two sons and say, "Where would I be without the church?" And on and on and on it goes. The Church of Jesus Christ is the organization that the Savior established when he personally walked upon the earth in Palestine and later in America. And in 1831, he reestablished it upon the earth to perfect and exalt all mankind. The church and its functions are indispensable to the plan of God. The church provides all the teachings of the Savior. The church provides authority from heaven, beginning with a prophet of God down to every family. The church provides the saving ordinances of the gospel, including holy eternal endowments and sealings in the house of God, a fullness of all that the Father has. The church provides brotherhood and sisterhood with others wherever they are upon this earth. A member of the church is immediately a part of a community of God with friends. It is a refuge from the world with watch care and accountability for every member. The church helps us to overcome selfishness and uncertainty by serving others in dozens of ways over a lifetime. Some of our fondest memories go back to those associations we have had in service together. The church is a way of life and has established organizations and cultural and developmental opportunities for ourselves and our children that are the envy of this world. Loving leaders and teachers provide warmth, security, activities, music, theater, athletics, as well as the teachings of the Savior to help us to learn how to love Him, to try to be like Him and serve others. A 7-year-old grandson has, through the primary and his father, found the wonder and blessing of the New Testament and now carries his little edition around reading it often. Our young women are trying to put faith, prayer, individual worth, knowledge, choice, accountability, integrity, the divine nature, and good works into their lives to get understanding about their future roles in this world and forever. Through many service projects, they share their lives, their testimonies, and their influence with others to come unto Christ. A young man in Michigan several years ago fell in love with an LDS girl. He was told forthrightly and with great love that she wanted the power of the priesthood in her home and the blessings of an eternal family, and she would only marry someone who could give her those blessings. The teaching she had received had taken root, and the seeds of faith, knowledge, and choice had grown, and she knew that they were true. The young man felt her spirit and agreed to be taught the gospel, and after he had learned that it was true, his father would not approve his baptism. A great shepherd, a bishop of the church, went to the father and helped him to see the value of that young woman, her standards, the church, and the really truly important things in life. The father was touched that day as he attended the baptism and saw 20 young men and women of the church and asked that the missionaries come teach him. A young woman had taken on the divine nature and was able to share the priceless truths with others. And what about our young men? All men, actually. As we learn how to exercise the priesthood of God, George Romney, former governor of Michigan, former president of American Motors, once said this to young men in a state conference. "Boys, I want to tell you something. I have never had a degree in business administration from any business school. What success I've had in the business world, I owe to the training I have received in this church." Recently, we learned a very valuable lesson from our president, Ezra Taft Benson, about the value of the church in his own life and the life of boys. He spent many years early in his married life teaching our young boys as a scoutmaster, learning and sharing with them in 100 ways. And we saw the results a few months ago as nearly all of those scouts he had led assembled and stood in this tabernacle, a witness of what had been done for them in this church. Yes, the church is the instrumentality of God. It is essential to the salvation of mankind. Listen to what President David O. McKay said about the church. I quote, "Every phase of the church seems to me applicable to the welfare of the human family. When I consider the corms of the priesthood, I see in them an opportunity for developing that fraternity and brotherly love that is essential to the happiness of mankind. In these quorums and in the auxiliaries of the church, I see opportunities for intellectual development, for social efficiency. In the judicial phase of the church, I see ample means of settling difficulties, of establishing harmony in society, of administering justice and perpetuating peace among individuals and groups. In the ecclesiastical organization, I see the opportunity for social welfare such as cannot be found in any other organization in the world. Thus, his church became my ideal, my inspiration in life. I think it is the highest ideal for which man can strive." End of quote. I know of nothing else in the world that can even approach Christ's church as an anchor for the soul. Now, may I invite all within the sound of my voice to seek the blessings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, its important eternal blessings, its programs and activities, its opportunities to serve and to be of one heart and one mind, and to seek the peace the Savior promised. The First Presidency has extended a special invitation to all who, for whatever reason, may have gone astray from the church to come back, to come home, for you are needed and we love you. The Lord and his church will bless you and your families even into eternity. Let us all seize every opportunity to serve in his church with full intent and with great desire, for that is what expands and perfects and sanctifies the soul. The words of the Lord given in February 1829 capture the spirit and heart of how to serve in the church. Therefore, O ye that embark in the service of God, see that ye serve him with all your heart, might, mind, and strength, that ye may stand blameless before God at the last days. Beloved brothers and sisters, this is the Lord's church, to which we are highly privileged to belong. We are part of it. It blesses our lives. May we capture the true spirit intended by the Lord and be anxiously engaged with others in seeking the blessings of the church. I know with every strength of my soul that it is true, that it is God's instrumentality to help us to become like his Son. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.